Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. We continue to celebrate the great feast of Easter. We have a good 40, 50 days of celebration. So open your heart to all that God wants to do in you. Ask Him to increase your faith, your hope, your love. God's gracious mercy is there for all of us, brothers and sisters, all of us. I want to begin today's program by reading the opening prayer for today, because it speaks of all the petitions, all the needs that we carry on our own hearts, and to make sure that we offer them. Here's what the opening prayer for today's Mass says. O God, who for the salvation of the world brought about the paschal sacrifice, that's Christ's death on the cross, be favorable to the supplications of your people. We cry out our supplications, our petitions. Be favorable to the supplications of your people so that Christ, our high priest, interceding on our behalf, Christ intercedes for you. Really, you're not alone in asking for something from God the Father. Jesus forever lives to make intercession for us, Scripture tells us, so that Christ, our high priest, interceding on our behalf, may by his likeness to ourselves bring us reconciliation, and by his equality with you free us from our sins. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. God is with us when we bring our petitions before him. Jesus intercedes on our behalf. You're never alone when you pray. Call upon the saints, absolutely. But remember that Jesus is the intercessor, the chief intercessor. And he intercedes before the face of the Father. All the saints follow after him. But he prays for you. If your petition is according to the Father's will. If not, he'll send his Spirit to enlighten you to change it. Pay attention. O God, who for the salvation of the world brought about the paschal sacrifice, be favorable to the supplications of your people, so that Christ, our high priest, interceding on our behalf, may by his likeness to ourselves bring us reconciliation. And by his equality with you, free us from our sins. So in his human condition, by his likeness to ourselves, bring us reconciliation. And by his equality with you as God, free us from our sins. What a beautiful prayer. Good prayer to perhaps pray every day yourself. First reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5, verses 27 to 33. When the court officers had brought the apostles in and made them stand before the Sanhedrin, the high priest questioned them. We gave you strict orders, did we not, to stop teaching in that name? Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. You want to bring this man's blood upon us. It already is upon them. But Peter and the apostles said in reply, look at the courage. Peter who denied, Peter who ran, look at this. We must obey God rather than men. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus, though you had him killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to grant Israel repentance and forgiveness of sins. We are witnesses of these things, as is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Look at the courage. Look at the courage they all have now. Look at the courage of Peter. And when they heard this, they became infuriated and wanted to put them to death. Wouldn't you kind of want to go in a corner and hide and hope that things die down? Wouldn't you have wanted to perhaps walk along to the next town, hide out with some friends? But these disciples who have become apostles, they knew that what he had done for them was true. And they knew that he would be with them, that they were not alone. And they stood for the truth. Psalm 34 tells us the Lord hears the cry of the poor. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be ever in my mouth. Taste and see how good the Lord is. Bless the man who takes refuge in him. The Lord confronts the evildoers. They know that God's gone before them. The Lord is the one who's confronting the evildoers to destroy remembrance of them from the earth. And when the just cry out, the Lord hears them, and from all their distress, he rescues them. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and those who are crushed in spirit, he saves. Many are the troubles of the just man, but out of them all, the Lord delivers him. Do we trust God enough to let him deliver us? Or do we just try to take absolutely everything into our own hands or give up? Seek him. Seek him daily. You're in an unjust situation at work. You and your spouse are having an argument that there seems to be no answer for. One of your children has rebelled seriously. Etc., etc., etc. What do? Do you go to the Lord? As the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and those who are crushed in spirit, he saves. Many are the troubles of the just man, but out of them all, the Lord delivers him. But we have to stay close enough to the Lord. We have to rest in him. We have to be with him, so that he can lead us in the way that will bring us the most grace and the most peace. And then the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 31 to 36. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of earthly things. But the one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. Whoever does accept his testimony certifies that God is trustworthy, for the one whom God sent speaks the words of God. He does not ration his gift of the Spirit. He does not ration his gift of the Spirit. No, I can remember as a very small child, very small, during World War II, and even as young as I was, just a couple of years old, 3 years old, but I can remember having to ration food. We had ration stamps so that everybody could get a little bit. Everybody could get a little food. I learned that very, very early. So apply that to this situation, to what here is being said in the gospel, that he does not ration his gift of the Spirit. He does not ration his gift of the Spirit. I remember even as a three-year-old being asked, which I thought was a wonderful thing, actually, being asked, because everybody had a ration book. And it had all your stamps in that you could use to buy a certain allotment, a certain quantity of food and things related. And they came to me and asked me if I would give up one of my stamps for butter and one of my stamps for sugar so that they could have enough, because my uncles were coming home on furlough during World War II. And they wanted to give them everything they could. So even as a three-year-old, I learned to give away what rightfully belonged to me. And I, in some childish way, I understood it. I was making a sacrifice for my uncles. Butter and sugar were two things I liked, and I gave them up so that everybody had something. But here in this gospel, what we read very clearly, he does not ration his gift of the Spirit. In other words, as much as you want of God's Holy Spirit is yours. He doesn't take away from you to give to another. He does not ration the gift of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, we need the Holy Spirit. It is the life. It is the love of the Father for the Son and the Son for the Father. It is the Holy Spirit who is the fullness of truth and wisdom who leads us. He is the source of all love, brothers and sisters. He dwells in us. The Father and the Son give us their Spirit to dwell in us, and He does not ration it. As much as we can take is ours. I want to encourage you to open up your heart to the Holy Spirit, who can lead us in truth, who can give us wisdom and power, who can give us deeper faith and hope and much greater love. Love that can enable us to forgive where that doesn't seem possible. God's Holy Spirit is not rationed in your life. You can have as much as you open your heart to embrace. But pay attention to that. He does not ration His gift of the Spirit. The Father loves the Son and has given everything over to Him. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever disobeys the Son will not see life. But the wrath of God remains upon him. The one who believes in the Son has eternal life. I believe. And that's not just something I take out on Sunday. I need to be saved every moment of every day. I'm tempted to sin all the time. Some I succumb to. I need the Holy Spirit. And He has not rationed the gift of His Spirit. The Father loves the Son and has given everything over to Him. So are we going to believe? Are we going to grow in faith and hope and love? Are we going to open our lives to the Holy Spirit, to His wisdom, to the inspirations, to the strength, to the power, the grace He wishes to impart to us so that we can be His followers just like these disciples are? When you look at them, we must obey God rather than men. We must obey God rather than men. They're willing to lay down their lives if necessary. Are you? Am I? Would I want to? No. Would I be willing to? I could be by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit. But because I have free will, I can cut off at any point the gift of the Holy Spirit that God wants to give me. I can say, I'll take these gifts, but not these. I'm the one that can end up rationing the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, let's open our hearts wide to all that God wants to give us, all of it, that we might be His disciples, His sons and daughters, clearly and forever. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, dial 1-800-282-4789. You can also go to my website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. There you can get the free copy of my booklet, and you can also order a CD from Death to Life, The Fruit of Suffering in Our Lives. May God bless you.